100% Hard AF Seltzer is now live in over 1,200 locations across the United States. We're now available in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas. Go to hardafseltzer.com today, click on the store locator, enter your city or zip, and find the nearest location closest to you. Jamies, we're going early today, aren't we?
We're going early, but Ruben's in here, and I have to just really quick, he'll know what I mean. He's a sweetie pie and a gentleman.
First in the chat?
First in the chat, and then first in our hearts, and he sent some stuff to Crime Corner that he's a sweetie pie and a gentleman.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Look, I love Ruben. I want to hire Ruben. I wish Ruben
come
worked
on
here.
Down, bitch.
I gotta wait for this fucking funding.
Come on down.
I want to hire Ruben. I love Ruben.
He'll intern.
I think he's retired.
I want him
to control the studio. I want him to be studio manager. You know, love Ruben. By the way, at the start of this, I was two-handing.
Yeah.
Two-handing Liquid IVs here.
Yeah, what's up?
Promo code Nooners for 20% off at liquidiv.com. What's up is, I was up late on accidents. I'm filling out last-minute taxes and all that other stuff. There's a couple of the companies that we had to file late, whatever the fuck those are called.
Yeah, extensions. Boring. Yeah, boring.
Boring stuff.
Yeah.
Totally boring stuff. Exactly. So I'm just typing out, filling out this monotonous, boring stuff late last night. I got the Lakers-Nuggets game on, and I'm just live-lining it like a little tiny junkie all night, and it was one of the greatest games of all time. Ooh. And then, boom, next thing you know, it's 12:30 a.m.
Sure.
The shocking part is they dedicated an entire channel. I called this years ago, and I said it would happen. Weird to see it in real life. They've now dedicated an entire channel to live lines, gambling, and it's through the NBA and TNT, and you're watching three separate hosts on the side, kind of like the Manning cast that we know and love, except these guys are only just telling you about gambling the entire time.
And they're always wrong, huh? So good.
Those guys lost, yeah.
Yeah, good rule of thumb is just go against those guys.
Yeah, have you guys watched it? Did you guys watch that last night, or have you seen it on YouTube TV?
I don't care.
It was called NBA Bet. I like the here's why I care. I actually like the host. They're funny, like, cool dudes who just sit on a couch and, like, gamble, and then they're in, like, a three screen. They just never get it right. And it was enjoyable to watch, but shocking to see that not only is the NBA in on it, but now TNT is in on it, which also owns the NBA rights. We're just turning this nation into a dystopian nightmare where we all gamble.
It's a casino.
Protest in the streets about anything, and then we're all fucking sad and
lean
hurt.
In.
Lean in. Exactly, lean in.
So, like, so Delco, I know what you're going through, been through it, right? Mm. Comes in waves for me as well.
I just can't. I don't have enough bandwidth right now to care about anything.
I know. But unfortunately, with this show, so what I have to do is kind of lean in to whatever the thing is that, like, a casino. Is it a casino? Life is a casino. Then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, that's
something other
that's
than
how you pull
like
yourself up by the bootstraps.
Something
with
you know
a little parlay.
Yeah,
exactly.
A little parlay. It's gonna hit this time, baby.
So with that, Delco, the reason why I'm telling this story at the very, very top of the show is, it's a nice escape for me. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like with this stuff because, yes, the rest of the world is too heavy. Everything that's going on, if you watch it, you're just sucked into this fucking endless pit of awfulness. It's a nice little break to watch a game, throw a couple bucks on it, and root for something because we're not rooting for real people in life anymore. Mm-hmm. Case in point, last night, as this game was going on, you would think LeBron James would be trending number one or the Joker or somebody fun from that game. Nope. Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin. I was like, This is, and the game before was last second buzzer beater as well. You had two of the best games in NBA history back to back, but Alec Baldwin is trending over that. And you have, by the way, the first game was the New York Knicks in New York. The media empire, the mecca, still not trending number one. Next game, Los Angeles, media mecca, still not trending number one. Instead, it's Alec Baldwin who had to slap him, bitch.
Yeah. Perhaps I was also just down from that game. You know, the Embiid years. Crashing in because of one of my favorite teams ever, the Villanova Wildcats.
Yeah.
The national championship team. Three of those members are on the New York Knicks, so I can't even hate the Knicks.
You love DiVincenzo, and I was thinking about that as well.
I love Josh Hart.
Notice as a friend, though, I didn't text you. I didn't rub it in your face. All I was talking about was the next game. I didn't say anything about Philly. I did, but as a friend, I did that because that was a hard loss.
But that team also made me a lot of money when they won the national championship, so they will always have a special place in my heart.
There you go. Okay, good. Okay, so at least you had some positive feeling on
it. But your nihilism makes sense to me now. Because you're like, do you know what I mean? It's connected to sports, is it?
A little bit. Because
Delco, I thought we were friends. I thought it was you and me,
No, I'm still with you. I'm still checked out on like most of the things that are happening in the world right now.
But it came on because of a sports loss, huh?
Well, not just a loss. I just think they're probably, Embiid might be gone in the last 10 years of
sports.
My life.
An era.
Sports, yeah.
An era is gone.
The end of an era.
I told him that you should have traded him last year, but whatever, man. I digress. Instead, you know, during these amazing games and the greatest night the NBA has had in a very, very long time, it's Alec Baldwin. And I'm like, what the fuck did Alec Baldwin do yesterday that would have this many people up in arms? Did the trial start?
Right.
Is he on, is that going? I thought maybe that was it, or maybe they dropped the charges or whatever. Nope.
Did he testify in Trump's?
No.
You know what I mean? We don't know.
Did he?
Yeah, was he called as a witness? We don't know.
Play this video. As you guys know, Columbia University is shut down. NYU University is shut down from, I guess, everybody loves Hamas in New York City now, which is fun. This
horrible sitcom.
But anyways, they have some time
it's
on
Dev
their
Patel.
Hands. Yeah. They have some time on their hands. Let's say that they've been let out to the streets and they have time on their hands, huh?
They do. And
school's closed.
It's a wild day when you're out protesting the streets and then you run into Alec Baldwin in a coffee shop.
By the way, can we talk?
Always hungover. He is always hungover or looks like he is dead the next morning.
Oh, by the way, he has 7 kids. So
at age 72, 73,
I don't even think he drinks. Do you know what I mean? I think it's
is he
sober?
Doesn't.
Sober. He's 66.
Get the fuck out of here. He's sober with 7 kids.
You
they should study that in a lab.
You have to be, dude. By the way, what streets are these? I mean, this looks like a very nice coffee shop.
Well, he lives on the Upper East Side, so that's my guess. They didn't say. Go ahead and play the video for the audience here.
Alec, can you please stay free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
Puncher.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time. And I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. One time. One time, Alec. You know, he's a criminal.
Do something.
You know he's a fucking criminal.
Oh, he just walks away.
Come on, Alec. Yeah. Just say free Palestine one time. One time. Just one time, please. And I'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
Free Palestine.
Yeah.
Fuck Israel. Fuck Zionism. Please say it. One time.
Could you do me one quick favor?
Yes!
Oh! There we go.
He's back.
He's back, baby.
Hearts and minds.
He's back, baby. That's the old Alec we loved.
Gosh, he tried, didn't he, though?
Yeah.
He really tried.
This is, we're talking about this off mic, Ross. Mm-hmm. This is what happens.
Fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
When someone, because you can hear it in her voice the whole time, when people think there's no physical ramifications to what they're doing. That they're totally untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the most dangerous place when confronting Alec Baldwin is to be behind a camera.
Blam.
Oh, nailed it. Nailed it.
Blam.
That's the line of the show so far.
Now he'll go back into nihilism. But
yeah,
listen, I think we've turned in many ways, right? This is equality, right?
For men and women.
Yeah, because to Bob's point, like there has been throughout history, you know,
sure,
women that either they have a man behind them, they get into fights and expect their boyfriend to, you know what I mean? Like there is this badass thing that women can do because they are not going to get hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's over. Right?
I
think
I hope so.
in public places, in these situations, if you think to yourself, if a man was doing this to me right now, would I punch him?
Yeah, you would.
Not me. I'm saying, like, as a dude.
But I think as a lady too. I think you would too.
I mean, at some point, because right
but
now.
But that's not the conversation.
Right now, it's essentially like she has to be attacking you, and not even just attacking you. Like it has to be dangerous.
Oh, you have to be like, oh, if you punch a woman, we have to see the footage of her like scratching your eyes out and fucking trying to slit your throat before you can even like push her away. Right.
Right.
So
but
like,
if a man was doing this, he's punched in 3 seconds.
3 seconds. Yes. He says one thing. He comes up with the camera like this, doesn't even say anything, and he's punched, right?
Yeah.
So domestic violence, different, right? In the home, things like this, different.
Mm-hmm.
In situations, out in public, bars, whatever, if a dude was doing the same thing and you would punch them, we gotta be equal.
Yeah.
We gotta be equal. If someone's in your face, pointing, pushing, whatever, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a gal, a broad.
I wish this was Patreon Day, because there's a movie clip from 2000 that's just like the perfect illustration of that. I caught it randomly on the internet the other day, and it's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. It's from the movie, what's it called? The Way of the Gun, Ross. Do you know that
movie?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like an opening. It involves Sarah Silverman.
Hell yeah, yes. It's great.
It's the fun. It's
is my husband
it.
Is Benicio in that?
Yes. Benicio's in that.
And like a Philippe.
Say yeah. Husband.
What's the dude version of mistress?
Manstress.
Manstress.
A manstress.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to Colorado by the fire with Kurt, right?
Sure.
But if I want to have some fun and whatever, it's a Benicio.
It's Rimmers for Benicio, obviously. We're,
I'm going to party with Benicio.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's Rimmers.
Yeah,
it's Rimmers.
It's not a new concept for sure, but I just think, I've turned on Baldwin, too. I'm there.
You're back in on Baldwin.
I'm back in on Baldwin. Alaria, bye, girl, bye, still. I will never forget. We will never forget on this show what happened and
Alec,
what you did.
Alec.
I've turned, what? What's wrong with that? I watch Boss Baby all the time
now.
I know,
I know. It's so hard because of what a great actor he is. And you forget what a piece of shit he is until his movies come on. Yeah, Boss Baby was on at our house relentlessly. He was so good in a fucking animated movie, dude, where like I took the kids to see Trolls. Justin Timberlake was terrible as just a voice over a cartoon character, whereas Alec Baldwin made me believe that little baby was an actual boss.
I just forget why I'm supposed to not like him. Can you guys refresh?
Oh,
just
boy.
Some bullet points.
Don't know. He wouldn't put Jesse. His phone away to play Words with Friends on a plane 10 years, 15 years ago.
Okay, one bullet.
Jesse, it's endless. Endless.
On what? I don't want to hear political views because I don't give a fuck.
The politics.
Politics
right, let's take
aside.
Out, let's
what
take
is
out
he
politics
done?
Aside, yes. So he was notorious for kicking the shit out of people in New York for things and blah, blah, blah,
for
blah, blah.
Following with him with cameras and doing this exact thing.
Yeah, but get out of New York like this.
Why does he have to get out of New York? Do you know what I mean? I love him.
If you have 7 kids, I wouldn't put him under this scrutiny. New York City is the fucking mecca of all this shit. Like, just go to the cunch. Just go an hour up. That's where Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds live.
No.
Just go an hour up. You're all good, dude.
No, why
live
does
with
he
your
have
kids.
To leave? Why does he have to leave? This fucking bitch has to leave. He's Mr. New York at this point.
Yeah.
He's Alec Baldwin. He's
lived there for years and years and years. I'm with you. I think at a certain point, though, you know, he's on trial for murder, literally, right
He'll
now.
He'll get off.
I agree. You've got the Alaria bullshit with the wife pretending to be, you know, Mexican
I know, but we
and
feel
everything
bad for
else.
Him with that.
I, I don't like you're the one that went all in on this, and you got seven kids. Like,
do you think when
seven
she,
kids in the last 12 years?
Do you think when she put that leg all the way behind her head and had that accent, that Alec Baldwin was like, "Where did you go to school, though?" He does not give a fuck. He still to this day believes that like she's from there.
Sure, sure.
Because he has to believe that because both the legs go behind
her head. Yeah.
The head.
I expect a little bit better out of someone who is married to prime Kim Basinger.
Mm.
But at the same time, once you get so old, you know, you're just, and you see a young, chick with a leg behind her head, you're kind of just
both
checked out.
And you also don't want to deal with a celebrity at that age.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, maybe.
And also she's a, you know, super fan. Kim, I mean, she did, there's got to be something in him that's like, this person, like, grifted for years to be with me.
Oh yeah,
she stalked me.
It'd be nice to be married to a super fan, you know,
right? That's just like literally all about it.
Yeah, I know.
You would love it because you have the opposite. But
I know.
I support you.
You've never been impressed with one thing I've ever done in my entire life. So yeah.
Yes, I have. We'll talk about that in a second. But I think that he's just like, you know, Kim was Kim. Kim Basinger, like, holy shit. Even when he was getting a little bigger, right? Like, Kim Basinger was the...
An all-time banger.
The all-time...
All-time banger.
Everything. Yeah. Marilyn Monroe of our time.
Naturals.
At that,
yeah, the whole thing.
At that time, yeah. And so, you know, they had a... They probably had a healthy discourse. They had a back and forth. They had some competitive stuff between them. And here comes Ilaria just all about it.
And he
could do no wrong. He's the best. You know what I mean?
So the other thing about Alec Baldwin that he took heat for over the years was obviously the infamous voicemail that he left his daughter Ireland, where he called her a fat little pig.
I fucking get it. Now I have three kids. One of them is 10, which means he's 17.
Sure.
In his mind.
Yeah.
I might be sending an email every, you know, I might be sending a voicemail.
A voice text. So it deletes.
Something. At some point in his life, I might be like, you motherfucker. Like when he's fucking up in school, 17, whatever, like get your fucking shit together.
And then you get a thousand parents online who are like, well, I could never talk to my child. There's never an excuse.
Just wait. I'll be like, just wait. You have a cute little 3-year-old.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like that.
No.
Not going to be like that forever.
Sure isn't. Sure isn't. But this was a fun story during the game, so at least it wasn't negative, where I was like, all right, good for him, because fuck these people. Right now, I said this yesterday on Drinking Bros, and I'll say it again here. I think this is being funded by somebody else because they're all in the same tents. They've all got the same gear. They're all doing the same type of technique for the way that they're coming up to people. Because this video is almost identical to the one that the guy that came up to AOC a couple weeks ago in New York City.
The funding thing I'm kind of like torn on because part of me is like, yeah, I mean, where do they get the tents and shit? But like, those are $20 Amazon tents. And I was part of a college group that routinely put together thousands of dollars on a whim to do things.
Sure, but you were in a fraternity.
Yeah.
These people, they don't have fraternities and sororities and all that stuff in Columbia. So
they have clubs.
They have clubs.
And they're all really rich.
Look, Columbia is the most expensive school on the planet, so yes. NYU, unbelievably expensive as well. Having gone there, I mean, it's just shit.
I think they just have a new 8chan, 4chan, 12chan situation.
Could be.
Where it seems like it's funded, but it's just...
Hey, we all got together. Here's
they're
what
at
doing.
An age where, you know, and they're
just
all...
better organized than us.
Oh, yeah. God. Like the way that 4chan and 8chan like mobilized where it seemed like it was, they were all just trolls, right?
Yeah.
But you're part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people see that video and you get fucking clout on whatever, you know, group that they're in. This girl, whoever she is.
Yeah.
Gets like, I fucking did it, you know, whatever. But I just think it makes him look better, more and more like stuff like this. He's gonna, you know, if he's on the other side of harassment, it's only gonna.
But also
do him good.
For the administration and everything, there's definitely money coming in from like Qatar and stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure, 100%, 100%.
Yeah, which is why they're not gonna take
which is
a
why
hard stance on anything.
Why, now, like, a lot of the faculty and the people that have gone to Congress and everything have just never said anything.
Yeah, but all the rich donors are pulling out. Brad Kraft, we talked about yesterday, owner of the Patriots, he's pulling out all of his money. Bob, you said before we went on air this is happening at University of Michigan right now?
Yeah, allegedly.
Okay, so I have a feeling this will start to pick up steam around other campuses. I don't really know why. Like, I don't understand it. If you're a college kid, why you're for this, especially women in particular. It's very, very odd to me because you don't have any rights over there. So, like, right now, you know, the gay, trans, all that stuff is big and that we're fighting for rights and everything. But over there, gay people, trans people, women, none of them have any rights whatsoever.
Right,
but to be fighting for this in particular cause.
It's the hot new thing, you know?
I know, and that's what scares me the most about all this, like, because we have a TikTok account for all the shows. Full disclosure, Danny runs it. We have a social media department that runs it, so I'm not really on TikTok. I know you are, Jesse. No. Is this a thing over on TikTok where...
Not on my side.
It's not on your side of the algorithm?
I'm on a mom's side, but go ahead. You can ask.
Yeah, all right. Is this one of those things where people are doing it because of TikTok and the videos and to be a part of it, to feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves? I just don't understand because you're fighting for a group that believes in no rights except for dudes.
It's the same as any bubble that anyone's in, right? So they're each in their own bubble. And if you sat in on one of those meetings, you'd be like, all right, well, fuck, you're right. And then you go over to the other one and you're like, well, yeah, all right, well, fuck, you know. So they each are really feeling like they're doing the right thing that people don't know about, right? On each side.
And it also always starts with a pretty logical, you know, agreement.
Based in,
It starts with something that most people typically agree with, like, hey, maybe we should have a little bit of police reform. Maybe we should not bomb innocent civilians. And then they just go so left that and insane that they just ruin the cause or just... I don't know if it's a self-sabotage or what, but...
Yeah.
I just like anything that is focused, right? So, like, either one of them, they both have a pretty clear focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that I can get behind. It's when it's, like, this broad thing where they're like, stop being mean to people with, brown hair or whatever, and you're like, yeah, but what? How? So it seems that they have a pretty clear, you know... either side, they have a pretty clear thing that they want, whether it's good or bad. They have a pretty clear thing that they're saying, stop this or stop. You know what I mean?
But if you want to actually stop it, why not just go and actually do it?
Go where?
Go to Gaza. They need help. They need humanitarian aid. They need volunteers. They need all of that. Like, for real.
Yeah, but in their mind, because we are the ones giving the aid, in their mind, they are speaking to our government.
They want to decolonize.
And saying here,
They want to decolonize, but they're not going to give anything they own to a fucking Indian.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't want to do anything.
They
just want to yell.
That's it.
They haven't thought beyond that. It's like the Joker in fucking The Dark Knight, right? Like, do I look like a guy with a plan? Like a dog chasing a car. If I caught it, I wouldn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
There's no plan. There's no goal.
There isn't. That's what I don't get about all of this.
Except for hanging out with your friends and getting fucking slapped by Alec Baldwin being a fucking a star in this group. Look, she comes back here and she's like, boo, she's a fucking rock star.
This is like Mizzou in 2015 right now.
This is the end game.
It's true.
Right here is the end game.
Get some Borgs, guys. Have some fucking fun.
What's this fun flirty video you're going to show us here?
Out and now play the video. Weird fake cultural dances.
If they actually do get what they want or what their side wants, they'll immediately regret it.
Well, here's the other part. If you did this in Gaza right now as a woman, you would get raped and potentially murdered because you're not wearing your hijab.
What is the song?
Did you see the fucking... He was an MMA fighter in Russia. He's from Iran. And he kicked the ring girl because she was, like, you know, dressed like a ring girl, not in a hijab or whatever.
Yep.
And then he got his ass beat by a bunch of Russians.
Sure did.
He got jumped. He lost the fight first off, and then after the fight got jumped.
Yeah.
Dalgo, you just turned me nihilist.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, it's too much.
It is. But this is what you're fighting for? I just don't really understand why you're fighting for somebody or a group that is so horrific.
They're not fighting for them. They're fighting for their right
to fight.
To fight. To do this.
To fight, right? They're like, we want you guys.
Fucking work and act like they're doing something real.
So their big thing against the college is like, we want to be able to do this, but we want you to protect us. And the college is like, look, do whatever. We just can't like condone any of it or protect you. And they're like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so they're fighting to be able to fight where they want to fight and be protected to fight.
You can also do this, right? Like, but you're looked at as a weirdo if there's no cause behind it. If you're just in the quad doing this dance.
It's beautiful now, though. And honestly, this whole thing is kind of like the meme. Everybody wants to wear Carhartt till they got to do Carhartt
shit.
Carhartt
shit, yeah.
Right? 100%. Everyone wants to be brave right up until the thing that makes what they're doing brave, which is consequences, come into play.
Because there were people that were going to go to Israel and then they heard they might get bombed, and they're like, yep, flight canceled.
Whoopsies,
you know what I mean?
Southwest didn't give me my free drink ticket.
Yeah, so, but yeah, that's too much for this show. I think we can just kind of get behind Alec Baldwin, maybe.
We can.
We can free him. I mean, that's really all I can, like, understand.
Can I talk about a celebrity, though, that blocked me today that's upsetting to me?
Please.
Bob, I texted you the photo. This one hurts. Now, before you put that up for everybody, let me give you just a tad of backstory here, because Jesse and I actually dragged Jesse into this, so I'll admit it, okay? I love Steve Martin. I've always been he's a comedic hero of mine. I've always loved Steve Martin. I made Jesse watch The Doc the other night on Apple.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get the first part, if you know what I'm saying.
It was a good doc.
It wasn't of my era.
It wasn't a good doc. It was not of my era, too. I'd watch it later, because he was big in, like, the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, watched all of his stuff later on to kind of study, one, how a comedian was able to do an arena like that. Because Dane Cook ended up doing it in kind of my era, and I thought that was, like, beyond impressive, because he built this circle in the middle of the arena. And he was just going around the whole circle the entire time. And it was like fucking where the Atlanta Hawks play, where you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ. And somebody had said, well, dude, this isn't the first person to do arenas like Steve Martin did. And then I watched that old thing where he was at New York Jets Stadium, I believe. Mm-hmm. Forget what it was called back in the day. 75,000 people. And Steve Martin was already doing that shit. And I was like, oh, fuck. And then the rest of the movies I was always fans of, but I didn't really know all of that stuff. Like, I didn't know he wasn't on SNL. Mm. Remember? Mm. When we were watching it, I was like, oh, you just
hosted. Oh, I
know.
He was just hosted a lot.
Like, 80 times.
Yeah,
and I was
all
right, cool. And it was Beef Fries with Martin Short. Martin Short was on it for a little bit. So they were doing fun characters together and everything else. But I gave Jesse a warning before we watched it. I go, he takes himself as a serious musician. Serious banjo player, and he's been on tour for years with this banjo group.
Well, by default, he's one of the best, only because there's not a lot.
There's not a lot of banjo
think.
Players.
Yeah.
So Steve Martin wrote this earlier. Please take this as a now you can pan down to that real quick, Bob. Please take this as a completely serious warning. If the Supreme Court of the United States gives Trump the immunity he's seeking, America has ended. Even when Trump loses in November, the executive office will be distorted beyond recognition, de facto, actually, de jure, dictatorship. Giving such power is much, much easier than taking it back, SCOTUS Supreme Court. Come on, bro. Like, this is in regards to the January 6th trial. I can tell you the way, this is going to the Supreme Court on Thursday. I can already tell you how this is going to be voted. Mm-hmm. He was a sitting president in office. Yes, he will have immunity. That's the fucking law. This will all get chucked. People are losing their mind, and it's fine. All I wrote back in return was, I wish there was age restrictions on social media for all of our favorite celebrities, that it just turned off at a certain age and we could just remember them for how they were.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything nasty. I didn't say anything. I didn't even say anything directly to him. That was a blanket statement for all the celebrities that I've loved over the days and years and months and in seconds and hours. Okay.
And Steve Martin said, none taken, Ross.
Yeah. I mean, there
he
this
said
is pretty,
none taken.
That's pretty easy. Now, I didn't think Steve Martin had this kind of time on his hands. 60 seconds later, he blocked me. I don't know if I'm more upset that Steve Martin, my comedic hero, has blocked me, or the fact that his username is at Unreal Bluegrass. And Jesse, if you'll, actually, Bob, can you read the top of that? Screen's a little far away here.
Nope. Yeah, what do you want?
Just read the caption next to Steve there.
Like on the picture.
It appears as if Steve and his buddy are they tuning banjos as his picture in the top of Twitter?
I don't think either of those guys are Steve Martin. It's not. Neither of the guys in the picture is Steve Martin, but it says Unreal Bluegrass just a little bit outside the flat top box. I don't know what that means.
It's bluegrass music, Bob, and it's banjos, and it's hardcore.
Is this the real Steve Martin, though?
It is. Oh, okay. It's the real Steve Martin. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at that age, because how old is he? He's got to be what, 76, Bob? 78, maybe?
He's 78.
78.
78.
78. And he's on Twitter that much that he blocked me in 60 seconds.
Well,
that's wild.
I think you're super famous, maybe?
I wish. I would love it. I would love it. And I would tell everybody and get all the money for all the things. I wouldn't have to sit in one more investor meeting ever. I would just have it.
Right.
I would just have it. So, if this gets
back to Martin Short and he...
They're best friends.
Yeah. This gets back to Martin Short and he somehow blocks me or you or, you know, he's not really on social media, but then we'll have a serious problem, you and I.
Yeah. But here's the beauty of it. And I can tell you this. I'm trying to get Martin Short for the 1,000th episode. For RPR, because it's coming up here in, what you reckon, 3 months, somewhere like that?
Yeah.
I wanted to do that for Jesse and get him on the show and everything else. Typically, our publicists and all that stuff, they will start at social media and then back, you know, find a back channel in.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin, kind of got in the win column for me today, because he doesn't have it. I mean, I'm sorry, not Steve Martin, Martin Short. Martin Short does not have any social media whatsoever, and I already love that about him. So, started watching some of the other shows that he's been on to see if there was a connection between maybe a guest we had on or something like that. Because he was just on a podcast last week. I didn't recognize the person or the podcast, but I ended up listening to it. Martin Short, sorry. Say Martins, you know? It's two Martins.
No, it's not. They're worlds apart. Yeah.
Martin Short gives great fucking interviews and... That doc, I made me hate Steve Martin, but love Martin Short because Martin Short was so cool in it. But the only thing I kept thinking about is, why is Martin Short just putting up with this asshole for 50 fucking years? Like, I don't really get it.
That's why I relate to him. Like, Martin Short and I are just like, do you know what I mean? We're like, I get him. I think he would get me.
Sure.
If we did a show together with you two. And so... I'm joking.
Your
hatred for me,
and then you're just not being impressed by anything else. It's what fuels me every day, and that's part of the marriage.
Stop it.
You know, that's what's part of it.
Don't get too real, honey.
But I love Martin Short as the person now.
Yeah.
And a lot of his movies, because going back through that doc, Three Amigos was great. Father of the Bride he was in. Like there was, and a bunch of them are obviously with Steve Martin, but
yes.
just get the baby characters out.
No.
Yes.
Nope.
How many times has he played a child in a movie?
We can't do this again. I mean, we cannot keep doing this
We won't do it. But that's why I just could never get behind him. However, seeing these like weird behind the scenes moments because he has no social media is awesome. Where you're just like, oh man, that guy's pretty fucking cool. And I think you told me, and I want to confirm this with you on air, is he dating Meryl Streep?
Rumor has it. Or at that age, do you just kind of like have a gal pal to go to stuff with? And they've been in stuff together. They were in Only Murders together. They've been, I think, in other movies. They've just been around for a while. And so I don't know if they're ever going to confirm or deny, but like, yeah, they've been hanging out.
Okay.
A lot. I think he is a widower.
Oh, is he? Did his wife die?
I think so.
That's fucking sad.
I know.
Look that up. Did Martin Short's
and
wife die?
And then she's divorced.
She died a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, damn. But I don't think he was married after that, right?
Yeah, 2010.
Oh, she died in 2010?
Ovarian cancer, yeah.
Fuck.
She's only 58.
How many years were they together?
They were together... They married in 1980.
Oh, fuck, man. So that's, yeah. That's
yeah,
sad.
But I don't think he married after that, right?
He is, no.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it's like, why not? She's divorced.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
been separated for, I guess, 6 years, according to her.
Eight, I think.
Eight. Yeah. So,
Yeah, fuck
you
it.
You know.
Yeah.
Have somebody to, and he would be such a fun hang. Damn it.
The two of them,
if you want to go somewhere and have a good time, fucking take Martin Short.
I agree. After listening to all these interviews, the other part about this is they're both rich, living in New York, going to the Hamptons on the weekends and all that stuff. Like,
no, I think they go to plays.
They do.
They're like
actors. But you have to be super rich now in New York to do it. And there is an element of New York where if you are disgustingly rich, you can fucking walk around the immigrants. You can walk around the protesters. You can just book. Actually, they're so famous, they don't even have to book a reservation. Like, that would rock.
Yeah.
Just go into the best places and be like, hi. It's a 12-time Oscar winner, Meryl Streep. I need a table for two.
But it's also like they're just
back.
Even this picture, Bob, is it up? Yeah. Of them. They're just like a couple of old normal
people. They're both wearing
Skechers, right here.
Shape ups.
Yeah, and like a
like I doubt
a stretchy legging jean and, you know.
I doubt he's, you know, grabbing her leg, yanking her to the end of the bed and just fucking
piping her.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
We don't
but like
know.
Even in Only Murders, Bob, because you're the only one that I think has seen it. But like
in the world,
even
or?
If it was that cute relationship where they're just kind of like hang out and they're cute and cuddly, you know?
Okay. Yeah. But either way, I'm in on Martin Short, but Steve Martin has blocked me, and that's breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Not really. After watching that doc, he was such an asshole. I was like, I'm good.
I mean, he doesn't seem like the type of person that you could say that to. So, like, I don't know why you did.
I didn't say that to him. I just said about celebrities in general. Like,
but you put it on his?
Somebody, yeah. I responded to a thread. Yeah. Yes, it was his thread. I did. So, makes me sad, you know? And I was following him, and now it just says you're blocked, and that's just kind of staring at me. Oh, and it's a fucking pick piece thing. He's got to pick piece. You didn't pick piece today, bro. You chose violence. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Right?
Who chose violence?
Steve Martin. Steve Martin did. That's crazy, man. I mean, that block hurts.
I mean, he clearly doesn't think of himself as old. So that was rough for him to hear.
I didn't say he was old.
You said there should be an
age limit. There is. But I think the age limit.
And that you implied that he was over it.
Hang on. He's 76. What do we say? 78? 78. That age limit should probably be 60 for a celebrity.
Gosh, but that's when they just get heated up,
I
right?
know.
Like the moms, the aunts, like that's when they just have time and they're reading and like they are primed.
Yeah.
That's just when they.
I know.
So.
Man, everybody on Twitter all day long. Because if there's times where you're out there and you feel like shit about yourself. If a celebrity blocks you in that big, in 60 seconds, you realize they don't have the life you think they do, you know?
Right.
So that's...
And that was Twitter?
It was Twitter, yeah.
Should there just be like a different...
Imagine spending that much time on Twitter, too.
A different place for them, though?
Yeah.
Like a bitter?
Olds. Yeah, a bitter. Did you say bitter?
Yeah.
That's a great one. Just bitter, and it's old celebrities. It's Barbra Streisand. It's Steve Martin. It's Rob Reiner.
And they could, like, trade articles and things, like, back and forth.
Yeah,
of, like,
throw James Woods from, in like, there so we got some equal representation on both sides.
From, like, 4 weeks ago, and they'll be like, this just came up. And it's like, no, it didn't just come up. But for you, it just came up.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
fun. That would be a
that
cute
would
place
be fun.
For them to.
Bitter. I like that a lot. And it's, you got to pay a fee. Because you're famous, and then that way nobody will disagree with you or fuck with you. Or...
I don't know. Or you, again, you could just be an age limit. Like, you know, our parents will get in
access.
The mix.
Yeah, they'll get access.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, and they'll get on.
I like that.
They'll get in the mix.
Yeah,
they'll
I like that.
Start, you know, saying what they've learned and what they're, you know, anecdotal, how they're dealing with stuff. And why not? How fun. It'll be like a little coffee clutch.
Yeah, exactly. I'm fine with it. Bob, I saved this next one for you today. We were all in the group text the other night here, and... Oh,
a little boy text, or what?
No, you were in it. Don't come after us, Swifties. All right, we spent the whole weekend dissecting the double album of Taylor Swift, which would be beyond impressive for anyone else other than Taylor Swift at this point, but it was pretty fucking boring, dude. We got to get out of this phase of the Lana Del Rey producer. Like, it's, yeah. I love, Jack Antonoff is one of the best, but it's time to move on from him and go back to whoever was making bangers.
There's a reason Lana's niche.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
I'm not saying she's bad, but she's niche.
Mm-hmm. So two things happened here with this. First song comes out at midnight because we were talking about it on the show last week, and I was like, I'll be up, and I'm going to fucking play this thing. Now, it was 11 our time. You were getting ready to go to bed, and I go, let's just play this first song. It's with Post Malone.
It's a Fortnite.
And we'll, yeah, Fortnite. We'll just see how it is, and then, great, we can wake up in the morning, or you can, and go mm-hmm. through it. I went through the rest of the album in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Played it, and the first thing you said 30 seconds in before you went night-night was, sounds like Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, but I mean, I think even Evermore and Folklore and stuff kind of was going there. And you know,
I think those weren't though. There was a little bit of it, but it was like a peppiness to it, mm-hmm. Like I don't know, energy to it. Lana Del Rey is never energetic. She's like morose.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like
Joel is perking up back there,
which is why Coachella didn't do that well. I know, but she was headlining, and it's like, I don't want to go with 100,000 people and stare at somebody so morose. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Lana Del Rey is like, she's just whale sounds.
I like her.
You know what I mean? Like, she's a whale sounds cassette.
I like her. It's just, you put it on in the background of a dinner party with adults that you just need something to play where you're not saying, fuck this hoe every 10 seconds. So,
but you know why, Ross, I'm sure you dealt with this a lot in Hollywood and at NYU and stuff like that, is that there are people who are talented artists
mm-hmm.
who maybe don't think they're so talented for whatever reason, a lot of times because they're certain types of people like them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see another artist mm-hmm. who's not as popular, but they're, all the artsy people like
they
them.
Worship them, yeah.
And they want to be like, they want those fans.
So I had the exact feeling that you just said word for word as I listen to this album of everything that Taylor Swift's been accused of in the past about being, you know, just a pop machine generating hits and all this other shit. And then she has a best friend, Lana Del Rey, who is the exact same producer as her. I'm sure there was a nudge of like, let's save some of those tunes for me and a wink wink and all that other stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if Lana got some money out of this album too. For real? Are the double albums? Because it is just so fucking close for a lot of those songs.
Yeah, did we see? Is she like writer on
the album?
Or?
So I didn't buy the album at Target or whatever the fuck it.
She may have gotten some kind of producer something.
Producer, writer credits, mm-hmm. something. I'm not really sure. But
I think Bob's totally right. Like she looks out at the Eras tour and she sees like
kids,
moms and kids and whatever. Yeah. And like she
basic white chick
goes to, you're absolutely right. Goes to a Lana Del Rey and goes like, dang, like these are intellectuals. These are my people. Why don't these people like me, you know? And as with any good businesswoman, she just wants to be broad. So she wants to get them this, that, get all of it. Right.
And by the way, that is the type of thinking that killed comedy.
It sure is.
100%.
You have to stay in your lane. I agree. And I've said this on this show for years of why you really can't cancel it unless I say the N-word is like, whatever you want to think. I've been consistent for the last 20 fucking years with the same exact type of comedy. And you know what it is. You venture out of it and you get fucking burned. And this one she's getting torched on the internet for because she got out of...
She's not.
She is. I mean, even Barstool and those guys were like... The Barstool had a great headline. She made a very fine album, and that's okay. But it's just not good enough for her, and it isn't. Like, she's set this impossible bar now that we've all are waiting for the biggest songs in the world and the biggest tour in the world and all this other shit. And when you miss occasionally, and you are, with everything that's going on in her life, I'm surprised she even dropped the goddamn thing. You're going to miss.
I feel a little differently about it. But, Bob, you're the true Swiftie.
Here's the thing. I didn't completely hate it. Like, there is songs that I like on there, and there is elements that I like. I just, it's not good enough. There's not one that you're rolling the windows down and blaring, or that kids are dancing to, or that people on TikTok.
No, you're not popping your penis to it. But what?
I have the most damning critique of all, the most damning thing of all to say, and that is that my wife did not like it.
Does she know all the stuff? How many times has she listened to it?
She's a big fan.
She knows all the Easter eggs. She knows who it's about. Yeah. She knows the everything. Everything.
And she's actually a big reason she didn't like it is she was like, at what point are you going to stop writing about your exes and writing hit piece songs?
That's what I said.
I think this is the point.
This is the last.
I think this is the last thing. And even when she wrote about it, like the little in between when she did the iHeart and kind of like gave little notes in between playing the songs, it was like, this chapter of my life is closed. And I had to just, and because it's all about Matt Healy, right?
Right.
Who I think
and
was.
And the other one, the Joe Alwyn guy?
No, not at all.
Oh, really?
It was mostly about Healy.
It's all about Healy, and not just from that little short relationship that they had. He was someone that would pop up in her life in between every relationship and was kind of that, like, go back to dude that's not good for you, but like,
maybe he's really the one.
You know, you just keep going back to him and it's always the same shit and there's drugs and there's, it goes too hard and it's not good. But like when you break up with someone and then you go back to him, right? So I think because she's in this great relationship, right? So high school now, I think she's closing the chapter. I hope she's closing the chapter on all of this. One of the songs is John Mayer. There's one that kind of seems like maybe it's Alwyn. Goodbye London or whatever, So Long London.
Yeah.
And then everything else is about Matt Healy, because that is someone, if she broke up with Travis or if something was going wrong, she would call him, go back to him. And so she's like closing that chapter because she's finally gonna be happy with someone, probably start a family, probably not be able to sing about this stuff anymore, to your guys's point.
Yeah.
And so this is like the book of poetry and the like sad girl singing about the exes and even being mad at Kim and all of this is like done.
And I hope it is, because she's with somebody fun who fucking parties, and you need bangers because he loves her music the same way everybody else does, the bangers at least. And if this relationship's going to continue into the NFL season and all that shit, write a fucking party album
and have fun.
I hope so.
Because
we'll see.
If she closes this chapter and she starts and she writes again like this, people are going to be like, yeah, but you're in like a super hat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think she realizes, because she is very smart, she realizes like, I can't be singing about this stuff really anymore. If this is what I'm going to do, I can't be still pissed at Kim and all of this stuff. Like, I've got to let all of it go.
Yeah.
And so I hope that's what it is. But you're absolutely right. It's, you know, there needed to be like, maybe the Kim song should have been a little bit more like, look what you made me do, right? So it could be this anthem.
Yeah.
But I think she's letting it go.
We'll see. I let the album go.
Yeah.
It's on in the background, it's fine. It's like Lana Del Rey. If it's on in the background at a house party, great. But it's not something I go to where I'm like, all right, cool.
Don't put it on in a house party.
And by the way, I just want to say, because the comparison's going to be forced anyway, listening to this album made me go back and re-listen to Cowboy Carter.
And exactly right.
Come on.
And now you feel differently, huh?
I really like Cowboy Carter. I liked it already, but now I really like it.
You're the one person, Bob. You're the one person.
No, it's a great comparison, because you go like, man, this person was supposed to give me my fucking...
Because guess what? Because here's the thing about Cowboy Carter too, right? She tried something difficult artistically and pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did not think she pulled it off. And that's why, I hate that entire album. There's not one redeeming song for me on that
I'm a fan, and I don't even like Beyonce.
Yeah.
And I like that album.
You're the one, because that one got panned, too. Both of them got panned. It'll go back to the other thing, too, what we were talking about last week. Are you too rich to make the fucking huge, amazing album anymore? Because I think that's part of it as well. Who knows? I'll say this, we bitch about music all the time, but rap has gotten really fucking fun the last few months. These weird beefs that are popping up and everybody fucking hating each other, dropping weird shit. Drake just dropped an AI verse with fucking a dead Tupac and Snoop Dogg against Kendrick Lamar.
Everyone seems to hate Drake and J. Cole.
Yes. And then they're all in and they're coming after him. All these people are fucking killing each other online. Chris Brown drops a diss track against Quavo. It says that he's the one who should have died, Migos.
What was the line that Kanye had about J. Cole? Like, put on J. Cole, make the women dry.
Make the pussy dry, yeah. I mean, it's,
ceasefire. I'm calling for a ceasefire, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Columbia and ask for that. That one I'll fight for.
Can we stop the diss tracks, please?
No, the Kanye one was so good, and he made the original song better, and the original song was already number one. Kanye, it's just fucking unstoppable, man. We just watched a guy blow up his entire life, career, family, everything else. And then he just drops a few bangers and no one cares anymore.
I don't know. Are you aware he dropped an album in like February?
Yeah. It was number one.
Vultures?
Vultures was number one.
Do you like Vultures?
So here's the thing with Kanye these days. I like usually 5 to 6 songs off of it. The rest of the album isn't great, but it'll go back to what I was saying. Are you too rich to do a full great album anymore? And I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. He popped up with a number one song on there with Carnival. That thing was fucking massive. He just did the remix of the Future song, which was better than the number one song. That's fucking massive right now. And then Childish Gambino. I always forget about Donald Glover for like 5 to 7 years. And then he pops back out like a fucking groundhog. And you're like, oh, God damn it, man. I forgot he was a super talented musician. Mm-hmm. I forgot that he wasn't doing a remake of Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime as a TV show. He leaked his new song last night from his new album.
Right.
With Kanye West. And it's fucking incredible. I mean, absolutely. It's all the futuristic shit we were hoping for and out of Donald Glover and Kanye. And it's going to be the biggest song of the summer. Like,
who's the AI on that?
There isn't.
That's both them?
It's both of them going back and forth over and over and over again. Okay. And to go every other line like that, they had to be in the same studio at the same time. There's no way you could do that separate just to get the timing down for it. And good for him, but like that sounds fun that's coming down. I'm like, oh shit, dude. Then it made me miss Atlanta.
Right.
It's like, oh, God damn it. Yeah.
Not the place.
Not the city. Mm-hmm. Not the city, guys. Mm-hmm. But it made me miss the TV show Atlanta where I was like, oh, fuck. Remember how great that was?
Yeah.
And now they're all stuck doing weird shit. Seinfeld talked about it last night, too. I watched an interview with Seinfeld. I like him more and more as the years go by because of his honesty in interviews.
When did you not like him? I've always liked him.
There was a period where he was dating, like, 18-year-olds where I was like, man, how is this going to get creepy? Or
his wife.
It ended up being his wife in the end, but she was 17 years old.
She was 17 when he was 39.
Jessica?
Yeah.
Or maybe when said, what's the...
Oh, no.
Bob. What's the Fetty Wap song? 1738, that's what it was.
1738.
Bob, fact check that. That's his current wife. Because I know he was dating.
No, it's not his current wife.
It's not his current wife. It was before her.
But it was weird.
Yeah.
There was a moment, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where he went Bowie.
Yes.
But listen, you got to...
Well, Bowie was 13.
Sure, which, Bob, that 13 is today's 17.
Don't get Bob riled up about his hatred for Bowie, please.
I don't hate David Bowie. It's just...
Bob, just stop. Bob, listen, we can't. Bob, we can't.
1738.
Every musician you loved in the 70s...
Everyone, Bob.
Was a horrific person.
Fuck the same 13-year-old.
Yeah.
But anyways, I love that that's your position, and I do support it.
So for me, I wasn't sure what was going to happen with Seinfeld. So you had that, and again... I love Seinfeld. There was a documentary that he did right during that time period in the early 2000s about his life because Seinfeld had ended. And it was so fucking depressing. It was him rich as fuck. Seinfeld had just ended. He had $500 million in the bank. And all he was doing was taking private jets out of New York City, performing stand-up comedy in New York City, taking a private jet to Cleveland. To do stand-up comedy, and then taking the private jet to L.A. all on the same night because there was no time difference going back and forth like that, doing 3 stand-up shows in different cities, but at, like, small clubs just to do it. And you were just like, oh, my God. And he just admitted in the documentary, he's like, I don't know what to do with my life. This is the only thing I'm good at, and I know this isn't great.
Yeah, but then he got
turned it around.
Married, appropriate age, I think. Bob, check
well,
that.
Well,
younger,
yeah, check
but
it, Bob.
Not like, but younger. But when you have
30 million or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to marry someone your same age.
Not 30 million.
So, anyways, and he wanted kids.
He's
right?
got close to a billion now.
Yeah, yeah. At that time, it was like I don't know.
Yeah, who's his wife now? What's the
Jessica Seinfeld, who I think he started dating right after the teen.
Okay.
Oh, the her name is Shoshana Lowenstein.
Yeah,
I think? Yeah, because they got married in 99.
Okay. What's how old is she?
What's the age difference?
Yeah, what's the age difference there?
Let me see. Like... She is 52 and he is 69.
Okay.
That's close enough.
17 years.
Well, how long have they been married?
That's a magic number for him. So she was 28 when they got married.
Oh, perfect.
So he was 45?
He wanted to have
Something
kids.
Like that, yeah.
You know, that's and he did. And she is beloved. People actually like her
yeah,
socially
for sure.
more than him.
Absolutely.
And so she kind of, I think he realized like, look, I have so much money. I have kids now. Nothing really matters. He literally, the way that he talks now in interviews is just like saying everything you want to say. Why?
Because yes.
yeah. you can't cancel him.
You can't.
He has all
rich.
The money. Yep.
So does Larry.
Yes, but
yeah.
that was his brand, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Seinfeld was still trying to, like...
Nah, they're the same person.
...be in...
They're the same person.
I think Larry David is the bad grandpa in that, where it's... I think Seinfeld's a little different. I think that's why they got along, though, because they're close. But even Larry David getting divorced at 70 from his wife after 30... Like, what are you fucking doing?
And so this was the young... The,
yeah.
The how old?
She was 17 at the time. Oh, is that her now, Bob? I haven't
yeah.
seen her now. So the picture down at the bottom.
Can
is...
we see her then, though?
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
It's going to look like a 17-year-old Kim Kardashian, by the way. I'm telling you. She looks like a 17-year-old Kim Kardashian.
Oh, we've done this. I think we did this in regards to Bowie, because we were like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean.
We did, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, holy
you don't
shit.
Maybe go out in public.
What? But... What's the deal with looking at me? But anyways, as the years have gone by for him, I've become a fan again simply
right.
because of what you just said, where he doesn't give a fuck in these interviews. It doesn't matter. He can't be canceled. He doesn't care what you think. And he's still doing stand-up. At least it's like big arenas and shit like that, so he's not wasting his time and like, oh, I've got to go entertain 200 people in Cleveland tonight just because I...
But he loves that.
I know, but it's kind of gross, dude.
Comedians riding in cars kind of like...
Loved it, yes.
Shows,
yep.
But it shows how obsessive he actually is and still
with
is...
With stand-up.
...about comedy,
yep.
other comedy, the like, you know, the science of it and everything. So, yeah.
It's a
he
perfect...
Needed,
yeah, it's a what yeah. you just said is a perfect segue into what happened last night. So there was an interview that came out last night. He has a new movie that he directed on Netflix.
Okay.
Which I was unaware of. Pull up the title of it. I think it's about the Pop-Tart guy.
Yeah.
Remember we did a full episode about the fucking guy who died who invented Pop-Tarts?
Yes.
It's about this guy.
No.
Yes.
But it's fake.
Oh, it's fake. It's
like
not
a
real.
Fictional telling.
Oh, so he saw our clip and was like,
probably.
You know
what? Yeah, he saw our show and then
Let's
did a movie
make
about
this
it.
Funny. No, I'm kidding.
What's the deal with Pop Tarts?
So it's unfrosted. Hit me with some stars in it.
Who do we got? Who's at the top? Melissa McCarthy. Okay.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jim Gaffigan. Hugh Grant.
Amy Schumer.
All right.
Okay.
I'm in. I'll watch
it's a
it.
A lot more. But so it's like a fictionalized. It's like a. It's yeah. like how he imagines Pop-Tart was invented.
Okay, so this comes out May 3rd on Netflix. He's doing press for it now. And they said, what did you think, you know, writing and directing your first movie? I guess he'd never directed a movie or directed anything before, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you know, it's weird. All these people that walk around, they have no idea that their jobs are over. It's over for them. Hollywood is dead. Movies are dead. And the interviewer's just like, holy shit, we're here to promote this movie and do everything. And he just doesn't care. And he goes, look, it's, he said, it's trying. He goes, when movies first came out, we were quoting lines. Everybody was seeing them together, which is true. You were, you know, talking about your favorite scenes and all that shit. He said, I feel like right now we're all trying to drink from this impossible water hose that is just spraying in every direction and nobody cares about anything, but just getting a little taste of water. Mm-hmm. But in that, they were like, oh, well, are you sad about that? And he goes, no, because stand-up comedy is at a premium right now, and the greats are getting better, and everybody's coming out to see stand-up comedy, which is all true. They're booking everybody left and right now. You're making more money as a stand-up comedian today than you've ever made in your entire life because people want to go out and see aggressive comedy and their favorites and all that other stuff. And so he had a really good take on it where he goes, I'm just still concerned about being a great stand-up comedian because that right now is at a premium. And, you know, there's a lumber shortage. And if you got the wood, you got the wood. That was his quote, not mine.
Man.
That's serious.
Everybody's in this movie, by the way.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah.
I'll try to go through the list as quickly as I can. This is a non-exhaustive list here. Dan Levy.
Oh, okay. From Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek. Yep. Fred Armisen, John Slattery, John Hamm. Let me see here.
Literally anyone he wanted.
Yeah, Bill Burr, Peter Dinklage.
Oh, gross. He dinked.
He dinked us, dude?
Yeah.
I'm out on the dink these days. That's why he canceled those midgets.
Tony Hale from Veep and Arrested Development. James Beautiful. Marsden, Bobby Moynihan, Thomas Lennon, Jack McBrayer, Melissa McCarthy, Beck Bennett, Sebastian Maniscalco. Let's see.
Yeah, no one is going to say no to Seinfeld.
Yeah, Cedric the Entertainer, yeah. Andrew Daly, Max Greenfield from New Girl, Schumer, like we said, Patrick Warburton, Mikey God Day, damn. Kyle Mooney, Hugh Grant, Gaffigan, Christian Slater.
What the fuck,
What
dude?
The fuck?
Yeah.
It's too much. I feel like it might be too much.
It's every single part
it's
is,
too
played,
much.
Is played by someone you recognize.
It's too much. Oh,
okay, so there's like, I bet some of them are extras even. They're like, I'll just do
yeah,
I'll
fuck
just
it.
Be,
I'll just pop in.
Yeah. I'll just be in the Seinfeld movie. I'll be in the background.
Yeah. I just want to hang out with Jerry for a day and ask him some shit. But I've started, I'm back on the Seinfeld train where it's like, okay, cool, man. Figured out life. His interviews are interesting. You can't cancel that guy. Mm-hmm. He simply does not care. And I like him again.
Okay.
Where there was a period where I was like, oh, how's this going to shake out?
It's not a,
he got out of it.
It's not a controversial take.
He got himself out of it. So, it's good to see. And I'll watch this fucking movie. I'll give this a go on May 3rd.
Yeah.
I mean, with 900 celebrities in it, has there ever been a movie with that many celebrities where it was actually good? Oppenheimer, maybe?
No, I mean, every person is a celebrity. So, like...
It's tough, right?
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's tough.
I don't know.
It's a tough one to think of.
That's another thing that's made comedies worse, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, is that every comedy has the same, like, 20...
people.
Like, there's, like, a pool of... 100.
Sure is.
Now, and every comedy, you're going to get 20 of them.
Bob, yeah. That pool is actually about 15. And yeah,
you're going to get five.
One of those 15
everyone.
Is going to get it. Yep.
But yeah. I mean, no, like even for the background parts and everything like that. Like even
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not played by an actor anymore. It's not played by an actress anymore.
Right.
It's played by some fucking improv person.
Yeah.
You know, it's always
that you like
people.
Kind of know or, and that has some kind of following.
Awkwafina. If she's Asian.
Right, right. Yeah, you yep, need an Awkwafina.
Yep. Like, you sure do.
And it's just like, okay, like someone's going to come in and do a little improv, and it's like, this is yeah, what's yeah, written yeah. for you, but, you know, riff
Just
for
let
a day.
Him play, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Just come in and let him play.
Yeah, but and
let
while,
him fly. Yeah, let him just do his thing.
We'll edit it.
Don't even give him any lines, man. He's like the master, dude.
But what he was saying was true, and I realized it last night when you and I were chatting, is I showed you that girl on... Instagram.
You showed me the girl that I already knew, yeah.
Correct. And I had only known her because she joined Friday Beers, which is, you know, our dude channel that we love over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of inviting the best of the best in. To me, those sketches right now and the things that those guys are doing on there are more interesting than any movie I've seen. And that's... Yeah. So Seinfeld is correct. Like, yeah, I would rather get my content from those guys every day.
But the only problem with them... that I worry about is just like, I know that's not really sustainable economically.
Financially.
So what? Yeah.
So they're going to eventually have
When's
to try and make
burst?
Movies,
I know.
Right?
I know.
Because it is. Their stuff's so good and it's so high quality and they're so talented and in a vacuum, they deserve everything. Like, they're so good. But like, in real life, that doesn't make money.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. And there was a guy that I used to follow. I'm not going to say who it is because I love him and I think he's truly talented. And I asked him about it off air. And I just said, hey, with all the Instagram shit, like you've the best sketches, the best things or whatever. And I go, what are you going to do now? I want to do a movie. You know, I want to do a movie. And I was like, why do you want to do a fucking movie? I was like, everybody watches this, you get millions of views and all that other shit. And he goes, because it doesn't pay as much as a movie. And I was like, God damn it, man. And then he's disappeared off the face of the planet for, I haven't seen one thing out of him for 8-9 months because he's shooting this fucking movie.
Daily content like that. And I know you've done it to an extent. I think podcasting's different than a lot, but like, I know you've done it too. Me and Dan have done it.
Sketches
or even writing blogs, writing daily writing like that. That's not towards one project. Like, right. You know, you have to write a book every day. You have to write a screenplay every day. Or you have to work on it every day. Right. But like, individual daily content that you put out every day, and that's its own thing. Like,
it's hard.
It's so fucking hard.
And you get burnt out. And I think to a certain extent, even
especially
over,
if you have to, oh, we need to put it out at this time or whatever. Like,
quotas.
Yeah. And I think
it's shittier.
Even for me, like, to a certain extent on Drinker Bros, like, Dan will get frustrated that I don't want to do sketches and things like that. But when I tallied up the numbers at the end, I've done over 500 sketches, and then a lot of them either didn't even, they were shitty, or they didn't make it out, or they were great and they blew up. But there was, you know, financially little return on shit like that. And you do get so fucking burnt out writing sketches every single day. Because I was in that group at Funny or Die in between movies, helping out all those guys for all their shit. Occasionally I'd star in it. Occasionally I'd just write it for somebody or whatever. And it's a fucking grind, dude.
There's not a reason, a return. There's a reason SNL has like 100 writers.
Well, right? And the other part about when SNL was great is they were two on and then two off, right? So they would have 2 weeks off. You'd have maybe one at tops, three original episodes in a row, 2 weeks off. Everybody would go home and be like, all right, let's get some sleep. Let's recharge and then come back with new ideas and fresh stuff. And I think that's why that they were so successful for years and years and years.
That's why Dave Chappelle ran to Africa.
It is, because you lose your fucking mind. You lose your mind. Mm-hmm. But your girl on there, I think her name is Elise Patton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge fan. And
so funny.
God damn it, dude. I was unaware she was big in the female world before she came over to the dude side. And God, she's funny. But I love those. I love them. And I mean, I could watch those entrepreneur videos over and over and over again all day long. Like, give me those on a fucking loop on Netflix. Like, I'm all in.
That guy that cuts with Huberman, like, edits. Bob,
I know. Yeah, he's
so good.
The other part of entrepreneur.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Somebody's in the chat saying truth, white people, and there's some other things out there. All the things you guys are mentioning are rad, and that's exactly what he was talking about. There is so many options, and there's so many things for people to love that, they're not racing out to see the Pop-Tart movie.
And the other thing, too, with doing daily content, it's like if you do it from a perspective of like, oh, I feel like I'm a creative, I'm an artist or whatever, it's like it get the really diminishing returns on fulfillment.
Yeah,
like, so
you literally have to turn your talent for it into a fucking job.
Yeah.
And just fucking make it a job, right?
And you don't feel like you're making art or comedy at some point. No. You feel like you're,
Yeah.
You got to let it go, right?
You got
to
let it go.
You have to let it go. You got to give up. You got to get into the machine and just, you know, get on the track and keep it moving.
The flip side of this is there is money in it for sure. Like Brandon Rogers, who's the greatest, he's the fucking goat on YouTube and a homie in real life. He's made so much money off of YouTube that he's just continuing the YouTube train. So good for him. And he has the best sketches on God's green earth. I mean, it's not even close how great that guy is right now. And at the fucking YouTube Awards or the Webbies or whatever the fuck they call him, he wins every single year because he's just that great. It's possible if you stick to it. I think you end up having a solid product or something else to kind of supplement it and really go for it, you know? Mm-hmm. Same with podcasts and same with the seltzer.
Sure, man.
But I made it because I love it, you know? And I got wasted off of it. Had a little too many last night live lining the Denver Nuggets. Let's go.
You followed your dreams and you're It's your passion.
It's my passion.
It's your passion and it's your dream.
Passion of the Christ over here. You know?
Yeah.
You know? Do you guys have a nook today or a crime corner to end with? By the way, loved your last episode. If you've not downloaded Crime Corner, it has its own RSS feed. Tell everybody who was on last week.
We did Todd Kohlhepp, the Amazon review killer.
That's right. Yeah.
That's for the audio. You guys know Patreon, you know.
Patreon, you get all the videos. Yeah.
Who we did. It's different. And then you get the people that are just listening to the audio. They get it a week or two after. But Patreon and Ruben, yes, you get it a couple weeks early.
You sure do. And that's awesome that you guys do that. Shot Will, it's great. Have one today or a Nature Nook today to close out with?
I'll give you a quick crime corner.
Good, yeah. God.
We got a break in the case, potentially.
Whoa! Crime corner! Which case are we talking about, dude?
This is Bob. Go, Bob.
The case. One person.
The Rainy Street Ripper? Don't tell me it's the Ripper. Is it the Ripper?
One person rescued from Lady Bird Lake near Rainy Street. Breathing but unconscious.
Survived
the attack.
Are they out of the coma? What's happening?
Woman or
are
man?
They talking?
Danny's touch and go. We haven't really got to talk
Danny.
To him yet, but his mom said
Danny.
He's doing good.
So it was same thing, night out. Huh?
Is it a dude?
Danny, yeah. Right?
No, okay. No, I just made that name up. They have
it's his buddy.
Jesus, Jesse. You felt like you guys were homies.
He said it.
It's my bro, Danny.
Yeah.
We talked to his mom, and he's doing good.
No,
they haven't even released gender yet, but it is, pulled from the lake.
Damn it, dude.
Still alive. The Ripper didn't finish the job.
What were the details on that? Was it like the next day? Had they been missing? I don't think they're releasing a lot on it, right?
We know that river, obviously. How do you pull them out in time? Unless somebody else saw them.
There's like beach-type areas, right?
There is, but you'd have to make it over there. So maybe he didn't put enough drugs in the drink?
That's what I'm saying.
They were unconscious. So my guess is maybe they had... You know how you can teach a toddler how to float?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it, like, they can't swim, but they just learn how to be on their back, and it buys you time essentially to get them out of the pool or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe this person sort of had an accidental toddler float situation,
right?
You know, ended up on their back, floating through the water. Ripper didn't stick around to find out. Why would you?
Yeah,
sure.
You know, tried and true methods at this point,
right?
But they lived.
Ooh.
And we're gonna get this fucker.
And now the Ripper is like somewhere, you know how they are like watching the news kind of in their little studio apartment, right?
Yeah.
Trashy studio apartment, eating something out of a can. Maybe a bean.
Well,
maybe
it's
a
usually
soup.
It's usually a Chinese meal.
Or that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just watching the news kind of like, oh my gosh, like, you know, are they gonna
get out of Austin,
is
bro?
Is he gonna wake up? Is he gonna tell
Danny
him what happened?
Up.
I know.
Guess what, buddy? Your days are numbered because he's a fighter.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Danny has been drinking Everclear straight since
dude.
He was 12.
Good to remember.
You know what
dang,
I mean?
Dude.
All right. Mad Dog. Bacardi 151.
Sure.
In his baby bottle, okay?
Yeah. He knows what he's doing, man. He's
he
a
knows
trooper.
What he's doing.
He fucking.
Professional.
Yeah, he drank a whole bottle of Everclear and did the Gamma 5 5K triathlon. So if you think you can take him down, you got another thing coming.
I love it,
thing?
Dude.
Is that
sure
a thing?
Sure is. Prayers up for Danny.
Bob, the Ripper is coming for you, dude.
Emojis up for
you're
Danny.
You're next.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bob would survive that.
Oh, he would survive for sure.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like.
The way he's able to drink? Yeah.
The Ripper is seeing him right now and being like, I'm taking you down.
Delco would go down. Bob would survive, though, for sure. He doesn't. Delco doesn't drink enough. Bob would survive.
No.
Yeah. All right. Shit. Was
so
not
we'll
expecting
see.
That today.
We might get some answers.
Prayer hands up. Emojis up for Danny. Let's catch the Ripper. There's been too many lost frat boys. Dingit.
Dingit.
Shit. All right. It's a good one to end on today.
It really is.
Big fan.
Head
Big
on a
fan.
Swivel. We'll, we're just waiting for Danny.
Yeah. Flip on over to Patreon, Drinking Bros Podcast, Patreon. We'll be live in about 20 minutes, actually. We're going a little earlier today. There's a ton of people in town this week. So in case you haven't noticed on social media or whatever, we've got a live show at the Vulcan this Saturday night at 6 p.m. with Drea DiMatteo from The Sopranos. Everybody will be there. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody. So, like, you know, Jesse will be there, obviously, because she's most important.
Sure, I'll be in the audience.
But, like, Alex Stein is going to be there. There's a ton of, like, wild people who are popping in.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Jones just hit us up. He's going to come by for a couple drinks.
Okay, a couple drinks. I was like, okay. couple drinks.
Oh, man. Don't worry. Great to see you.
I'll keep him company while you guys are on stage.
They're crazy.
He loves me.
He's great. There's like a shit ton of people in this lineup. I was unfamiliar. Because they give you a time slot, and you're like, all right, cool. Well, who else is on this fucking thing? So go to the Vulcan website. Join us there, 6 p.m. Hard AF Seltzer is in the venue, too. So you can get rocked off of that at the Vulcan, which is nice. We got it in there a few months ago for Jared's event. I didn't think we'd be doing a live show there, and then here we are. Boom. So that'll be a blast. Rudy Reyes is in town. He's on the show this week. I mean, wow. There's a bunch of bangers like all over the place.
And
obviously, Tulsi Gabbard and Tim Kennedy were on yesterday.
Our social media people will be in town, so hopefully they'll keep you abreast.
Yeah, when does Danny get here? Female Danny, not the one
Friday
for the Ripper?
I think.
Okay, great. So yeah, join
and
us
maybe
for
Danny
all
will
of this
be awake
stuff.
By then,
the NFL draft is also Thursday night, so there will be three shows that day. There will be RPR at its usual time, Drinking Bros Fake News at its usual time, and then we were live the rest of the night for the NFL draft. I know Jesse's going to stop by. Derek Wolfe from the Denver Broncos, Travis Kelce's B Fry will give us all the insight on Tay Tay, probably.
I think we're going to have J&O Barbecue here.
Yes,
if you're
that is
in
catered. So
area.
If you're in Austin, want to pop by. Food will be served at 6. Draft will start at 7 in Austin, Texas. Hard AF Seltzer is free. Barbecue is free. All that fun stuff. Just pop on by if you want to. But this weekend is full of fucking bangers nonstop. So will next week. Looking forward to it. Thanks for tuning in, kids. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I'm Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Buenos tardes, everyone.
Good afternoon.